Hello, my name is Pastor Michael Eaton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly Eaton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael Eaton. That's Eaton. You may be listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries on the internet. We're going to pray that God will move in mighty and awesome ways. So now, let's get into the Word.
Marvelous, he can do the miraculous, he can blow our minds, he can do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ask or imagine, and that's why we say, yes, God can. And in this year of God, we've been studying different attributes of God, and we're going to continue in that study before we enter into our business meeting. And tonight, we're going to share a lesson entitled, The Peace of Praising God. The Peace of Praising God. And there's a quote on the screen I want to read in regards to peace. And it says, I learned from this odyssey that peace is not the absence of troubles, trials, or torments, but calm in the midst of them. But calm in the midst of them. And this is Coach Myers, who was recognized as the ESPY Awards. And he's the most winningest coach of all times. But his last 11 wins came after he was in an accident, a critical accident. He lost one of his legs. And he came back 11 games down from Bobby Knight to claim that title of the winningest coach in college basketball history. And that's where that quote comes from, out of his turmoil and pain. He says, I have learned from this odyssey that peace is not the absence of troubles, trials, and torment, but calm in the midst of them. Amen? Amen. So tonight we're going to be studying Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And I want us to read this as loud as we said, yes, God can, on three. And this is two slides, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. This is the NIV. Let's read this together on three. One, two, three. Another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voice, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord Almighty. One of the servants flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and he took it from the arms of the altar. He touched his mouth and said, see, this touch your lips, your guilt be taken away, your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Amen. Again tonight, we're going to study the peace of praising God. The peace of praising God. We're going to look at 3 points we want to know from this text and why we get peace in praising God is that God is still seated on the throne, that God is still sanctified or holy, and that God is still sending. And we want Christians to know that Christians get peace by never stop praising God. Christians get peace by never stop praising God. Let's go to the first point. God is still seated. I'm reminded of this text every time that either our church or our personal lives takes a transition that maybe we weren't prepared for. And that's what the prophet in this text was going through. His thought to be relative cousin, who was king, the third most popular king in the history of the people of God, David being number one and Solomon being number two, the man that led them through countless prosperity, the man who built the kingdom, the man who everybody looked to, a man who would be like President Obama if, God forbid, that his life was taken suddenly. It was that kind of tragedy that the man of God was facing in this text. For the text begins in the year that the king Uzziah died. He said that I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. It was a whole year that he had mourned about the death of this king, and he thought that life was out of control. He thought that he was about to lose his mind. He wouldn't have peace of mind. He was about to panic. And instead of having peace, he was about to panic, but he had to have an experience with God. And this experience with God helps us today when we face uncertain times, as we as a church is facing right now, even as we've lost our beloved musician who led us to praise God as the angels are praising in this text. But God had to show him that even though this human king died, that he was still seated. He was still seated. And if God is still seated, then that means that you can still have peace of mind. You see, if God ever gets unseated, then it's time to panic. When the angels stop praising his holy name, then it's time to panic. But in this text, God shows himself. He says, in this year that this mighty king died, God showed him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and God is still seated. He said, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted. And Psalms 34:1 tells us that I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips, or some says in my mouth. You see, as long as God is seated on the throne, he expects us to have peace of mind. As long as God is seated on the throne, he expects us to not lose our mind, to not panic, but to praise. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, don't panic. Praise him. Praise him. Because God is still seated. And not only that, that God is still seated, but God is still sanctified. God is still sanctified or holy. In verse 3 it says, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At this uncertain time, God gives a glimpse into the heavenlies, and he lets us see what song that the heavenly choir was singing. And the heavenly choir was singing a song about a sanctified God who is set apart, who's different from any man or woman that would abandon you, different from any child, different. Oh, this God was holy. And in the text, that this is a perpetual praise. And a good commentary on this text is Revelation 4:8, which says, each of the four living creatures had six wings and were covered their eyes all around, even under their wings. And it says what? Day and night, they never stopped. They never stopped. Day and night, they never stopped. Oh, day and night, they never stopped. Day and night, they never stopped. Day and night, they never stopped. What would they say? They would say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. A perpetual praise. Oh, you'll hear some of our praise leaders and trying to lead us in worship. They'll tell us, oh, if you don't like to sing here on earth, then what do you think heaven will be like? Oh, we'll be singing and praising God in the heavens. And if we can't praise him right now, what do we think about going to heaven? If you can't praise him perpetually day and night, if you can't see him for who he is, oh, he's still on the throne. He's still sanctified. He's still worthy to be praised. And Sundays, we try to join in with the angels to sing praises to God's holy name. Oh, Sunday is more than just about praising here on earth. It's more than just about a choir singing here on earth. It's about us tapping into the heavenlies and tapping in and singing these perpetual praises to the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. He was back then with Abraham, Isaac. He is with us right here today, Pastor Eton in Bethlehem. And should any of us pass away, he is to come for our children, 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 to the third and fourth generation. This is the God that we serve, and praising him all to give you peace of mind, praising him all to settle your soul, praising him all to let you know that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, 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 I know he holds the future. He holds the future. And that's peace in praising God. That's peace in praising God. Doesn't it make you feel good just to listen in unto the heavenlies? Doesn't it make you feel good to know that because he's seated, he has all that power, and he can take care of any situation that I planned for and I didn't plan for, any circumstances, because he's still seated. Not only he's still seated, he's still sanctified. But also, this last one, this is the way we respond also in having peace and praising God, is that he's still sending. He's still sending. Now, you know me, I like to use life situations and circumstances to kind of teach some things for us. And I just heard a rumor about myself and a rumor about Bill, and I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for Bill, but the rumor was is that Bill is stepping down as a deacon. People make up stuff. And also the rumor is that I'm supposed to be going somewhere. And you know, if I'm going somewhere, I'd like to know where I'm going. If I'm going somewhere. But those are rumors. But listen here, our God is still in the sending business. God can send his servants anywhere he wants to send them. Hello? Hello? And this is what his response after he's been in the heavenlies. And it said, then I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then the servant volunteered and says, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. I need to impact some more people around the world. I need to do something different. And as a result, I need to send you. Whatever the rumors is, I can't control rumors, but maybe God is trying to send somebody else. Hello? Maybe it's time for you to hear the voice of the Lord. Maybe you're not where you're supposed to be. Maybe you're not on your post. Maybe you're not doing what God has called you to do, and he's trying to send you somewhere. Will you listen up? Oh, Bethlehem, will you listen up? Matthew 28:18 says that God has sent us all. Say to your neighbor, you already sent. For it says in this text, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe or obey everything I have commanded you. We've all been sent. And some of us don't have to go anywhere to be sent. All we have to do is open our mouths in the places that we already in. Hello? Because God is still sending in uncertain times. Oh, when we're losing our connections with our loved ones or somebody's died, God is trying to wake us up and shake us up into doing his will. And if you hear me say this all the time, if you still have breath in your body, God has a purpose for you. And many people, oh, their loved ones get taken away, and they want to die. They want to be buried. They want to be put in the hole. They want to spend all their time out at the gravesite. And God says, no, I didn't send you to communicate with the dead, because the dead is where they're going to be. Oh, it's some alive folk that you need to be interested in, and telling them about me, telling them about how to be saved. Anybody here know anybody that's unsaved? Anybody in your family that's unsaved? Anybody? God is still seated. God is still sanctified, and God is still sending. And this is the major part of the church. This is the ultimate church business. And that's why I always bring us back to this point and share my vision that God has given me and sent me here for us to do. And I'm going to go ahead and do this right now. I want to remind you of our vision. This is the true business of the church, is that people be saved. The true business of our being here on this earth. And this is all that the Share the Love vision is all about, enlarging God's communities by being real. The R stands for what? Relational. Be relational. We must develop meaningful relationship with pre-Christians. Is there anybody here that has a meaningful relationship with pre-Christians? And again, a meaningful relationship with a pre-Christian isn't this, taking this and trying to shove it down their throat. Hello? Beat them over their heads. Hello? That's not a meaningful relationship. They see you and want to run the other way. A meaningful relationship is that they know that you care about them. They know that you love them regardless of if they will respond to the gospel or not. We must, as a church, be relational. We have asked all members to identify their 10 most wanted. And have you all here identified your 10 most wanted? Most of you have. Or can anybody tell me what today is? Something that we should be doing. Fasting and praying. Hello? Every what Wednesday? Every what Wednesday? Every fourth Wednesday. I don't want to get on you if you're not fasting and praying or not, because we fast and pray for Share the Love Sunday, and you always hear me say, if you didn't make it Wednesday, you can do it Thursday, you can do it Friday, you can do it Saturday from 8 to 8. We have to remember to keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. See, the devil don't mind us having church. He has a problem with us being church. See, we can have the greatest praise on Sunday. But on Monday, if we're not saying anything about Christ, if we're not praying for those who are unsaved, he don't care about that. See, Sister Tony has been led to go on, and we can get another musician that could be even better. But you know what? The devil wouldn't mind as long as we're not being the church. I believe God wants us to be the church, and many of us are the church. We're fasting, we're praying, we've identified, and I want to encourage you to continue to do so, to never, ever give up on those who are on your top 10 list. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, don't give up. You know, we live in this microwave society, and we expect things to happen like popcorn. Popcorn pops, what, 2.5 minutes in it, but that's not how it works. With the soul, there's a battle for the soul. There's a bloody spiritual battle. I was looking at the ESPY Awards and saw, I believe the game, I forgot, I think it was between UConn and some other team that went to 6 overtimes. 6 overtimes. That's what battling for the souls of men is like. It won't be easy. As long as we keep the main thing, keep praying, keep moving on, then God, in the end, whether it needs to be the 6th overtime, that we'll win. Amen? Amen. The R stands for relational. The E stands for what? Be engaging. Be engaging. We will engage in sharing the good news of the gospel. We will teach each member to share Christ in an attractive way to connect with the needs and the hopes of pre-Christians. We encourage each member to share their faith personally and by practical outreaches. We want you to be able, and I told you the way you share your faith, if you have a personal relationship with something, you can easily tell somebody about it. The best way to sell anything is through a testimony. Yeah. How many here have the George Foreman grill? I think we, okay, we got, how did you get that George Foreman grill? Somebody probably told you about it. you heard the testimonies on TV. They said, boy, these George Foreman grills are so real good. You need to go out and get you a George Foreman grill. And you say, hey, I may need to do that. I need to get me a grill. I need to get me a, well, that's Jesus. It's the same way. Just tell him how he's working in your life. Tell him what he's done for you. And if he hadn't done anything for you, then what? Guess what? What you need to do? You need to check yourself to make sure you're in the faith. Because Jesus is always doing something for his servants. Amen? Amen. So we're going to be engaging. We're going to be, also, we're going to be attractive. We will have attractive worship and events. Fourth Sunday, which is coming up this Sunday of each month, is a time that we've set apart, to which all of us as a church is supposed to invite pre-Christians to our church. It's not casual Sunday because we wear our Share the Love t-shirts. No, it's not casual Sunday. It's a time in which we want to invite those who do not know Christ to come, and we're going to be casual. And many times people say, I don't come to church because I don't have anything to wear. Well, hey, guess what, honey? We're going to be in our t-shirts this Sunday. Hello. Some may not like it, and you know, you don't have to if you don't want to. But it's just the way that we try to make Jesus and the gospel more attractive for others. And that's why we call it Share the Love Sunday. Want to keep the main thing, the main thing. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Have you invited anyone this coming Sunday? Have you invited somebody? You hear me say this all the time. Cheers. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. That's what church should be about. People walk in, they should feel welcome. They should feel right at home. And that's what true church is about. A lost and dying world finding home in God. Now, that's attractive. Not only that, it's supposed to be L. Again, we're talking about being real. The L stands for what? Be loving. We will lavish love on those in our church and in our community. And in any way that we can lavish love, it's the best way. Bible says they'll know we are Christians by our what? By our preaching. They'll know we are Christian by what? By our singing. They'll know we are Christians by our offerings. They'll know we are Christians by the way we dress. They'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. We have a loving church, and I've heard many, some people say that Bethlehem is the best kept secret in Paul's Valley. And I'm here to say in Jesus' name, in the words of Diana Ross, it's time for us to come out. When she said, I'm coming out. I want the world to know. It's time for us to come out. It's time for us to come out. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, it's time for us to come out in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this lesson tonight, the peace of praising God. We thank you, Father, that you are still seated, Father, and I get great comfort in that and knowing, Lord, that you are still seated. Because I, like anybody else, is tempted to worry about what's going on in this life, in this church. But Father God, you tell me, you told us tonight not to panic, but to praise. Because you're still seated on the throne. Not only that, Father, but you are still sanctified. That the angels are still daily, on a daily basis, and day and night are singing praises to your holy name. And because they are singing praises to your holy name, we can find peace in that praise. For that praise told us that you was and that you is and that you are to come, Father. Just let us know, Lord, you took care of Abraham, Isaac, took care of the prophet in this text. You took care of all those other saints. And now, today, you'll take care of us. You take care of this church. You take care of every family in this church, every voice, every person at the sound of my voice. You're still seated. You're still sanctified. And also, Father, you're still sending, Lord. Father God, help us to go, Lord, even if we don't have to go anywhere, just to enable us to open our mouths and to share, Father. Enable us to be holy as you are holy, Father, and that others may be able to look in our lives and see Christ in us. Others may see the love that we have for one another, Father, and as a result, they will know we are Christians by our love, Father. Father, we need you as a church, and we're going to praise you, Father, even as the devil is trying to take our praise away from this church. May he never take away our praise. Father, we've been here coming up almost 107 years. Father, help us to know, Lord, that you could be with us 107 more years, Father, in Jesus' name. There's no one person, no one position, Father, that can be taken away, Father, that will cause us not to praise your holy name, Father. So, Father, help us have peace in praising you, Father. We thank you, Father, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name.
Hello again.
Amen.
This is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you pray that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We would love to believe by faith that you've been born into the household of faith here at Bethlehem again. 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. If you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby, and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise. Pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in an economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-arts build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com.